The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you read in the scriptures about God establishing the seasons, and you wonder, is that something to take seriously? Yes, my friend, God did fix the seasons. We read about that in some of the Psalms, other parts of the Bible. And not that human beings aren't accomplished at establishing seasons of their own. For example, right now we are in the season of the new year, the season of the State of the Union address, maybe, the season of the Super Bowl, and of course, the season of the Academy Awards. Yes, the Academy Awards will soon be here in just a few more weeks. I know, I've been waiting with bated breath. What? You don't think you'll have time to watch this tiresome four-hour broadcast? Fear not. Your old pal Bob is going to come through for you. Let me give you the cliff notes prophetically. Allow me ahead of time to offer my impersonation embodying most of this year's acceptance speeches. Trump sucks eggs. Trump sucks eggs. I'll tell you, Trump is like, he's like Hitler. Oh, and let's build bridges, not walls. That's an idea I just thought of myself. And, well, thanks for the award. It's a great honor. Speaking of Donald Trump, he finally did it. President Trump agreed to reopen the government in exchange for a promise to have serious bipartisan discussion about the wall. Well, I guess that takes care of that. Sure, happy days are here again. Yeah, we've never been down this road before with the Democrats, have we? Here, Charlie Brown, I'll hold the football. You come running up to kick it. And no need to remind anybody of the role Rhino Republicans played. I know people are trying to spin this to say that the president didn't actually cave, but he did cave. Who are we kidding? He said he would never again sign a budget bill without wall funding. That's what he said. Now, I realize he can still salvage the situation. And who knows? Perhaps some unusual arrangement was made behind closed doors that we are unaware of. But even so, I doubt that his partners from the other side of the table will come through when the 3 weeks are up. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think I am. If the Democrats in Congress who approached Republicans in good faith about discussing the wall, if only the government shutdown would end, if they're really serious, why were they unwilling to discuss it during the 35 days of the shutdown? Where was their so-called good faith then? And that's putting aside the fact that right after Trump announced this, Pelosi and Schumer reminded us that the wall is still off the table. In fact, Schumer says he hopes Trump has learned his lesson. No surprises here. What else could the president have possibly expected? I know he says that in 3 weeks they better come up with something or else. He says that to make it appear like he didn't cave. And look, I am still on the president's side. I'm still going to support him. He hasn't lost my vote in the next election. He may have lost a lot of others, but he hasn't lost mine. I know he's trying. He's trying almost single-handedly. I have no doubt that he has been surrounded by cabinet advisors and rhino senators telling him to do this for the past 35 days. But it did go on for 35 days. So what the heck difference will 3 more weeks make? What exactly are we waiting for? Unless Democrats hold a coup against Pelosi and Schumer, they are not going to fund the wall. They are never, ever going to fund the wall. Period. End of discussion. They are more interested in making him break a campaign promise than the security of American citizens. All that happened is that Pelosi and Schumer have been emboldened. Have you seen the smug looks on their faces? They look like the cat who swallowed the canary. President Trump, it's time. Just declare a national emergency. I know some idiot judge from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals will overturn you. I know. And only God knows what will happen once it gets to the Supreme Court, since Roberts seems determined to be the new Kennedy to prove that the court is objective. Objective being defined, of course, as going with the liberals at least half of the time. But you need to do something, Mr. President, or you will lose your base and lose in 2020. You've made your good faith efforts. You've put everything on the table but Disneyland annual passes for DACA. People still blame you for the shutdown. One lady came on my Facebook page fully admitting that Pelosi has contributed to the problem, but still blaming it all on Trump. Why? Because Donald Trump brings out the worst in people. That's what she says. Donald Trump brings out the worst in people. I am so tired of hearing that Trump brings out the worst in people, as if that is a reason to excuse a Speaker of the House who claims that walls are immoral, that votes to give other countries money to build barriers, and puts up walls around her own private estate. Trump is flawed, as all of us are, and he has often said things in ways that could have been phrased much better. I have called him out when I have felt it appropriate. I called him out just now for giving in to the Democrats. I am not some Trump groupie who defends him right or wrong, but let's be clear. Nancy Pelosi has been a conceited, claptrap-filled hypocrite for years, long before Trump came along, and her nature has not changed. Question: when Nancy Pelosi refused to speak to the angel parents who came to her office, were those office walls immoral? Meanwhile, Trump's critics are delighted to blame him for absolutely everything, even when he's done nothing, even for the actions of his enemies. Popular talking points about bringing out the worst in people are merely being used as convenient tools. We will all stand before God someday in the next life to give an account. At that time, we will be reminded of something the politically correct cannot seem to remember. We are each responsible for our own actions. Telling God that Trump brought out the worst in you is not going to cut it. Just making the obvious obvious. And now let me introduce another man who also likes to make the obvious obvious. Say hello to rotating co-host Jim Barrier.
Oh, man, Bob. You just opened it all up there. And I got to say, I agree with everything you said there.
Well, of course, Jim, I don't bring you on the show to not agree with what I say.
Well, of course you do. But
it is more fun if you push back once in a while, of course.
Yeah. Well, the thing here for me is it seemed obvious to me that going into prior to the last election and then the results, that Pelosi couldn't wait to get that gavel because her mission, her sole mission in life is to take down Trump. And we heard it from several of the extreme liberals. We want to destroy Trump. That's what the whole thing is. It's not about the wall. It's not about national security. It's not about the poor children. It's about we want to destroy Trump. And so this is, as you said, their opportunity to make him to appear to have broken a campaign promise, and that's all it is. The agenda is to take down Trump. That's
exactly. Opinion. And if they can't do it this way, they'll do it some other way. They'll try to impeach him or something.
So they don't. There's nothing to do with, you know, you use two words in a sentence with the liberals, and you said faith, good faith. And I don't know if there's anything good, and I don't know if there's any faith resident in some of those corners.
Yeah, and I'm really just as bothered by the Rhino Republicans that were listening to them. And I know Trump's already fired people on his cabinet. I think he needs to fire some more. He's privy to some bad advice. And look, the man's a deal maker. You tell him that there's a deal in the works, and I understand why he wants to do it. He's a businessman. I am sympathetic to the president. I don't blame him as much as the others, but I really wished he had not fallen for this.
Yeah, I was real disappointed myself because I felt like, now I don't know if I'm right, but I felt like Pelosi won that.
Well, and I know it's only for 3 weeks, but I don't like watching them walk around with that smug look on their face. Yeah, I don't even want to see that for 3 weeks. I do believe that in 3 weeks, Trump's going to be fed up, but he sounded fed up with that omnibus bill. And that was put out by Paul Ryan, for crying out loud. And he said, I'll never sign a bill like this again. I did it to fund the military. And I know people have been out of work, but frankly, I don't lose a whole lot of sleep when one portion of the government shuts down. They could shut a whole lot more of it down, and I would be just fine. Just make sure we still have police protection. And that's about all I really need from the government.
Well,
sanitation department, too. There we go.
Most of them will get back pay, and that's what nobody's...
That's right. Only the people that did private contracting with the government will not get back pay.
And so, it's really... it's not as big of a crisis as some people want us to think. My hope is, because it just feels like he backed down and they're gloating, my hope is that they'll take this time and then when it's all done and they still won't be sensible or come to the table to negotiate, then he'll say, okay, see, I gave them what they wanted, I ended the shutdown, and they still are not willing to cooperate. And so we're going to declare a national crisis, and I hope that he has the chutzpah to do that.
I think he does have the chutzpah to do that. Unfortunately, some judge is going to have the chutzpah to overturn it. Well, and I have so little faith in I don't have a whole lot of faith in the Supreme Court just because we have conservative justices in there. Roberts is very worried about the reputation of the court. He's admitted that several times. And I'm a little bit scared of Kavanaugh getting gun-shy to have something to prove, too, the way he was dragged over the coals. They're only human beings, which goes back to the problem that the court shouldn't be having that much power anyway, because they are only human beings.
But you have to admit, we're better off right now than we were.
Well, we at least have hope. Roberts is going to be the new Kennedy. It'll depend on what side of the bed he gets out of, what kind of decision he makes. Sadly, I'd rather have 50-50 than have all liberal and we know what they'll do.
Well, and that brings up another good question, which is not in my notes, but, Ruth Vader?
Yeah. did you say Ruth Vader instead of Ruth Bader? Luke, I am your mother.
She's inactive right now, so really, it is a 50-50 thing. You've got, you can't have a majority out of eight unless... I don't know how that's going to work.
Well, I think we talked about her last time. May she, may God bless her, and may she retire far away from us.
Amen.
I feel like Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof. May God bless the Tsar far away from us. All right, we'll be right back.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 96.1 FM, 1170 AM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to co-host Jim Barrier.
Now, maybe Tuesday night there will be a State of the Union message. By the way, when was the last time in history that a Speaker of the House denied the President access to the building to have a State of the Union?
To my knowledge, it has never happened. They used to have him submitted in writing, but since he's been coming into the chamber, I don't think it's happened. I wish he'd have just done it somewhere else, because I don't want to have to watch Nancy Pelosi sitting behind him frowning throughout the whole speech anyway.
Yeah. And
I don't trust the Democrats these days to not get up and interrupt and shout things out.
Calls. So just do it for the Oval Office.
Do it in some big place
anywhere.
In Iowa where everybody's wearing a MAGA hat. Wouldn't that be a hoot?
Yeah. But hopefully, now, there's a chance he'll do this on Tuesday night. I don't know if he will or not.
Well, she has no reason to not invite him now that the government's working, unless she wants to go, Mr. President, let's see how the 3 weeks works out. Maybe she'll do something
possible,
like that.
If possible, that would make her look even more foolish, if that's possible. But I wanted to title tonight's program, The State of the Non-Union.
Okay.
Are we in a civil war right now, Bob?
Yes, we are. It's not being fought with guns, although with groups like Antifa, there is a lot of violence. But yeah, and we could be on the verge of a violent one. I hope not. Only this one is not so much geographical, although you could mark a few states like California, where I am on the wrong side, Texas, where you are on the correct side.
Yeah.
Thank God my son at least moves in Texas. But within every state, there will be people on both sides of this.
You know, I don't want to sound facetious about a very serious problem, but, people talk about that. Could it become violent? Well, if it does, it's over, because all of the liberals are anti-gun. And, the state I live in, everybody's got a gun.
Well, I really believe, and I know I'm going to sound like some conspiracy theorist, but liberals want to remove guns. And in the past, at least, never mind the conspiracy, let's just look at history. Government's confiscating guns is usually a prelude to them taking more control over your life.
Yeah.
Our forefathers did not want the country run by a tyrannical government. One of the reasons they gave the country the right to bear arms was in case the government did become tyrannical. They weren't talking about funding the militia. They talked about the militia in other places of the Constitution. That was the citizens' right to bear arms. And isn't it interesting that the left doesn't want us to bear arms?
Yeah, that was the main reason. So, but I'm just saying, if it came to, and the people that I know that are gun owners, gun enthusiasts, people that are on that side of the fence, they kind of stand with that Chuck Heston thing when you pry my cold dead finger off.
And folks, I have no pony in this show. I don't own a gun. I don't know how to shoot a gun. I only know how to shoot off my big mouth. But I do believe in our Constitution, and I do believe in our Second Amendment.
I do, too. And, people ask me, because we've had some incidents. There was another tragic shooting in a church, and it wasn't in this country this time. But there's been those kind of things. If somebody asked me, what would happen in your church? I said they wouldn't get through the second set of doors, because half of my congregation carries, and the other half are former convicts. They're not allowed to carry, and it would just not be a pretty scene for anybody trying to come into.
Really, only an imbecile would say it's not a deterrent. When we mark something as a gun-free zone, it's really like a sign saying, come on, and then the pickings are green.
Exactly. But I don't think it'll ever come to that, because it would be over so fast. it would make your head spin.
With it not being located geographically this time, it would just be such a nightmare. Because, I mean, I live in California, but there are a lot of us in California that are conservative and don't like what's going on here.
And I feel so bad for you that you're trapped there.
But, trapped by the ocean, trapped in San Diego.
I think you should view it as this, Bob, because I'm from there. I'm a third-generation native San Diegan, folks. I lived there the first half of my life. And I think now what you need to look at is that you're a foreign missionary.
Yeah. Oh, that's about it. I've felt that way in this country for a long time. In fact, when I have been a missionary for many years, the first organization I worked for, they're called Missions Door now, but they were originally called the Conservative Baptist Home Mission Society, and their counterpart was the Conservative Baptist Foreign Mission Society. And the whole idea was that some people realize how far America has gotten away from God, and we feel called to be missionaries here. So that's exactly, you pegged that. That's exactly what I am.
Yeah, and I've met many that have come from other countries to come here to evangelize the sadly lost Americans, and so there's some validity to that. I was being a little facetious.
Yeah. I love it when the skeptic always says, what about the poor guy in Africa that never heard the gospel? Listen, missionaries from Africa are coming to America because we haven't heard the gospel.
You know what I say when I get that one now? They say, have you met somebody who's never heard of Jesus? Have you personally ever met anybody who has never heard of Jesus? And, of course, an honest person is going to have to say, well, no. And if they were to say yes, I'd say, let's go get him. Let's go tell him about Jesus.
The only thing I would add to that, Jim, is that the experience of Jesus that some people get in some of our churches can make them farther from Jesus than if they never had heard of Jesus.
Well, it's false advertising.
Yeah,
but that's for another show. Maybe
there
we'll do a
go.
Show about that.
We're two shows in one today.
Well, we have a lot to do yet tonight. I would like to now move into a segment that I'd like to call Inspirational Quotes by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Oh my gosh.
Are we ready for this?
Oh, you can't spare us this, Jim?
Oh, no. And by the way,
she's never going to make Albert Einstein worry in his grave, is she?
No, listen, one of her most successful campaigns, and I'm behind her 100% on this, she is single-handedly taking on the prejudice against blondes in dumb blonde jokes.
Oh, my gosh. You know, the thing is, though, conservatives are just delighted with her because they think she's going to take down the Democratic Party. But I want to remind all my fellow conservatives that that's the way the liberals felt about Trump.
Yeah.
I do not underestimate her, and the more stupid she talks, the less I underestimate her, because we're a pretty stupid country right now. And on that note, we will be right back. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery,
It leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around. Available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Siegel Show. We were talking about the new freshman congresswoman, Cortez, and I was, we were saying about her, I guess the nicest way to put it without sounding too insulting is she doesn't exactly dazzle anybody with her intelligence. However, I was comparing her to Trump, but I don't mean to make it sound like I think Trump is a blithering idiot, because he's not. Trump's a very intelligent person, but the only comparison I meant to draw was that liberals underestimated Trump. Yeah, I think conservatives are underestimating the effect of her. What they do both have in common is she connects with people, and he connected with people.
I think there are more people for Donald to connect with, potentially. But so now, and I wish I had a reverb unit, because we would introduce inspirational quotes. Okay. By Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Okay, go for it, Jim.
Okay, all right. Okay, this is going to be fun. Have fun with these.
Well, I wrote a whole article on her this week, so I'm familiar with at least a few of these.
I'm sure you are. Israel is occupying Palestine.
Yeah, oh boy. Well, we've done like six shows in a row on Israel.
Yeah I know. I know. That's one of your strong...
Israel is not occupying anything, and the term Palestinian was never even used in the Middle East to refer to the Arab people until the 1960s. Up to then, the term Palestinian was used of Jews. So anyway,
exactly. But she,
I doubt she's ever cracked open a history book in her life.
And so somebody corrected her, and she said, "Well, I'm not an expert on."
And that was the first accurate thing I've ever heard her say. She should have stopped there while she was ahead. I was going, good for you. You admitted it, but now do yourself a favor. Unfortunately, she keeps talking.
Well, not being an expert or even not being versed in a subject has never stopped any politician.
Yeah, no, it hasn't. But boy, when she said she wasn't an expert, that was the understatement of 10 centuries.
Not an expert on geopolitics on this issue. Well, then don't talk about this issue. Okay, Alex. All right. Here's another good one. Comparing the caravans headed to the U.S. border to people fleeing the Holocaust in Nazi Germany.
What a nightmare. And she doesn't seem to know that many, many, many of the illegal immigrants coming across the border flatly admitted they were coming here for better work. And yes, there is persecution in some of those countries, but that's not quite the same as the Nazis taking a Jewish baby and putting it inside of an oven. Forgive me for being so crass, folks.
Yeah.
But when I say that, I don't think most people understand what happened in the real Holocaust. And what a horrible way to remember the Holocaust. It cheapens and lightens the impact of what happened by comparing it to this other stuff.
And while we're on that subject, folks, so this is not a non sequitur, but it's... If you visit the nation's capital, if you go to the Washington, D.C. area for a visit, for a vacation, or if you're there for a few days, you must go visit the Holocaust Memorial that was built a few years ago, largely funded. Steven Spielberg helped to do that after the Schindler's List movie. I've been to it twice, and I'm just going to tell you, it is a must-see event. It will destroy you emotionally, but it's something you must see. You must understand what history has to teach us, and you must understand that for all the potential good that there is in mankind, there is a tremendous potential for evil. So that's my plug. Go visit the Holocaust Memorial.
Yeah, there certainly is.
Israel, if you can go to the one there.
Yeah, that's the only. I've never been to the one in Washington. I have been to the one in Israel. But you know, what's interesting, Jim, is many public schools in England now are not allowed to teach on the Holocaust because it upsets the Muslim population, which is claiming the Holocaust never happened. So we have some of these politicians who, on one hand, are saying, well, let's not forget the lesson of the Holocaust, falsely comparing it to our border situation. Meanwhile, they're defending the Palestinians. The Palestinian Charter does not recognize Israel's right to even exist. The only two-state solution they're interested in is all the Jews being buried under the ground and them living on top of the ground. And so they defend that, and then they try to lecture the rest of us about the Holocaust. Something is really wrong with the way this pretzel has been twisted.
Oh, constantly. Let's move on in our inspirational quote.
Yeah, I'm inspired listening to these.
On gun control.
Well, oh, I can't wait to hear this one.
A 17-year-old can walk into a shop and purchase an assault rifle.
Okay, I know very little about gun control laws, but I've got to believe that is simply not true.
You have to be 18 to purchase a gun in any state where it's legal to purchase a gun.
Probably 21 in a lot of states.
Yeah, and assault weapons are not that readily available, despite what people think. Now, I live in Texas, and I could go buy an assault weapon. And that's actually a misnomer, by the way, that whole concept of what an assault rifle is. But that's for another show. I'm just trying to kind of
give a lot of other shows today.
I'm just trying to give Alex her due. So you just missed it by at least 1 year there. Okay, this is a great one. Unemployment is low because people are working 80 hours a week.
I don't know how she says this with a straight face, and I don't know how anybody takes it seriously.
Unemployment is low because everyone has two jobs.
Yeah, and you know what, Jim? The Democratic Party is scared to death of them. She's driving them so much to the left, they're all going to fall off a cliff.
I'm just thinking, okay, unemployment is based on the number of people who have jobs and the number of people who don't have jobs. It doesn't have anything to do with how many hours you work or how many jobs you have. It's how many people are employed. But she says it with a straight face.
I think she was out for pizza the day they taught math when she went to school.
You don't get ahead of me here.
Oh, okay. More math?
Oh,
great.
Yeah.
We love math here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
There are three branches of the government.
Oh, I remember this one. Yeah, go ahead.
The presidency, the House, and the Senate.
I know. You know what? Well, I wish those were the only three branches. I'd be just delighted if they got rid of the Supreme Court. But no, you're wrong again, Andrea. But we have lovely luggage for you. Lovely parting gifts.
Thanks for participating. She's going to get a participant ribbon.
Or you can have the curtain where Carol Merrill's standing. All right. We'll be right back. Bob Siegel. Looking for a church? Maybe not. Perhaps you've had your fill of churches. Maybe you even grew up in the church. Maybe as a kid you were dragged to Sunday school against your will. Maybe you used to throw spit wads as Mrs. Pumpernickel tried desperately to interest you in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. You may have grown up listening to long sermons, anxiously looking at your watch to see how much of the game you were missing at home on TV as the pastor made his 97th point. Or perhaps you were not raised as a Christian at all. Instead, you have merely encountered Christians. Maybe some obnoxious personality tried to shove the gospel down your throat using all the tact of a lawnmower in a barber shop. Well, my friend, perfect Christians don't exist because perfect people don't exist. That's why Jesus died for our sins. So I'm not going to tell you that the people of Skyline Church are perfect. I'm just going to tell you that we come real close. No, actually, you'll just find people who struggle with life the same as you. But we're honest about the struggle, and we help each other with the struggle. What you will find is a church that takes the love of Jesus Christ seriously. After all, his message is one of mercy and inclusion, and we don't need 97 points to talk about God. Ask anybody. Our sermons have never made more than 96 points.
Skyline Church, Sunday morning services, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m.
Back to 96.1 FM, 1170 AM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Hey, Jim, I know you've kind of met Hannah briefly on the phone, but I wanted to more formally introduce you to her. She's been here for over a month. She's doing just a phenomenal job. Say hello to Hannah.
Hey, Hannah.
You can say hi back to him, Hannah. She looks like, should I say hi? Or
is she shy?
Oh, no. Did you try saying it and it didn't go through somehow? Oh, okay. All right. It's not going through somehow, but I did get a strange look from her when you were making your blonde joke, although I don't think she's blonde. Maybe sandy blonde, sandy brownish, I would say.
But you don't
I still got a strange look from her when you made that crack, Jim. So.
No, my point was defending the poor blonde.
No, I know. You were saying that compared to Alexandria, blondes don't look so. I understand.
But. Yes. And so back to AOC, as we like to call her.
Okay.
Okay, we need free college and free health care for everybody. Just pay for it.
Yeah, I know. We need free health.
Just pay for it.
They're going to tax us. They want to tax the millionaires something like 75%. Don't they understand that you can't have jobs if you're taxed? The rich people are the ones that create the jobs. So what that's doing is it's going to create Venezuela for everybody.
Bob. She graduated cum laude from Boston University with a major in economics. Of course she understands.
Now, why doesn't that surprise me?
Nothing at all.
Boy, save your money, send in 3 cereal box tops, and get your college degree that way today, folks.
Okay, now you're going to love my segue here, Bob, because we've been paying tribute to our favorite freshman congressman.
Did you know that something like most of the Democrats polled said that if she was old enough, they'd consider voting her for president? That's how seriously they are taking her.
We've talked about some of the great candidates that are already throwing their hat in the ring.
That's true. Compared to some of the other candidates, Sam, she doesn't really look all that bad, does she?
Oh, it's going to be so entertaining, Bob. When we get closer, we're going to have so much fun with that crowd. But here's my segue with Alex. She's mad. She's disappointed that she will not be able to attend the Sundance Film Festival because there's a film that she was in called Knock Down the House, and it's about these young women who are going to come in and change politics in America, and she will not be able to go because of the government shutdown. So here you go.
I would like to cry. This is bringing a tear to my eye.
Here it is, though. She's going to miss Knock Down because of the shutdown.
Oh, very good, Jim. You were planning that one all day, weren't you?
Oh, I've been waiting and waiting. And that is my segue to talk about the upcoming Academy Awards.
Oh, yeah. And I should say, I used to love the Oscars. I graduated college with a drama major. I write plays. I write novels. But, boy, I just hate what they've turned into.
Well, I do, too. And you covered that pretty well. We now know what all the acceptance speeches are likely to be, or they'll be similar to
most of them, at least. Yeah.
Yeah. But here's my problem with the Oscars this year. My favorite movie from last year was Crazy Rich Asians. Go ahead. Call me a racist.
Probably somebody thought that sounded racist, and that was probably why it didn't get nominated.
Probably. So it was a great film, and it was – It was funny. It's a romance comedy. So for those of you that have some problem with romance comedy,
was it written and directed by Asians? Because if it was, how would they call it racist?
Well, that's the point. It was almost totally done by Asian people.
So obviously they didn't think it was racist. They didn't think they were racist.
Obviously not. Yeah. And it was really well done. You've watched I'm sure you've watched more movies than I have, and you have a great history of movie appreciation and being a movie critic and those things. If you haven't seen the film, I think you would find it very, very refreshing, very well done, very well done. It didn't get one nomination, not one.
Yeah, sometimes the best movies do not. Some of the movies we consider the most classic either won no awards, and in some cases were not nominated for any.
So that's why I'm boycotting the Oscars this year, because my favorite film didn't even get a nod. That's real. I haven't watched it in years, but it's a great film. But instead, here's some of the movies that are getting dominating all of the categories. You ready?
I'm ready.
Black Panther, which is a movie about a black superhero.
I hear that's a good movie.
Let me finish.
Okay.
Black Klansman, a story about a black KKK member. And The Green Book, a story about a black pianist.
Right. Now, Dana and I saw The Green Book the other day. It was excellent, but I understand your point. They're doing affirmative action within the awards.
And you know what's
too bad? The Green Book was such a good movie, it probably deserves to win, but people will wonder if it won on its merit or if it won because of all the political, because they're thinking of changing the rules that you have to have a certain political message in your movie or you won't even be considered.
Yeah, no doubt. And even if that's not spoken or written, it's understood. Now, wait, there's a couple of other films that are getting quite a lot of attention. We have The Favorite, which is a movie about Queen Anne. And we have Bohemian Rhapsody, which is a movie about Queen the band. And so,
two Queen
I'm
movies.
Patterns here. I'm getting patterns in the Oscars this year. So if you had a movie that has anything to do with the Queen or a band called Queen or the word black in it, then you might get a nomination. And you know what? All those films are probably really good films. Though I've never been a big Spike Lee fan, other than the Mars Blackman commercials he did with
Michael
Jordan.
You know what I like? One of the movies that's nominated for Best Animated Film is the animated Spider-Man, and this is a black Spider-Man. It was a really good movie. It actually would probably deserve to win Best Animated Film. So that's my point. I think a lot of them are good movies, but when the politics enters in, then we never know for sure what the real reason is. And I think that's unfair to the producers of the film, if anybody.
Yeah, I do too. And I haven't seen all of those films. I did see, for instance, I saw Black Panther. It wasn't my favorite superhero movie, and it had nothing to do with whether it was a black character or not. That's irrelevant. I just wasn't my favorite. I think in this recent wave of superhero movies, because there's a Marvel movie just about every other month.
Oh, yeah.
I really loved the Wonder Woman, which is a DC character. I loved Wonder Woman.
I enjoyed that, too. I thought that was really well done.
Yeah. And I haven't seen Aquaman yet, but I'm thinking I'm going to like it because I like the character when they did the last film with the DC, with the Justice League.
Right.
I didn't think the movie was all that great, but I really liked that character.
But you know what's interesting, Jim? A moment ago, you gave a little disclaimer when you said, I didn't like Black Panther, and it wasn't because it was about a black superhero. Isn't it sad that people have to take the time to explain that? Can't you just say you didn't like a movie based on the story without us worrying that people are going to question something? That's just the age we live in.
No, you can't.
All right. We'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel. I've been on the radio for many years, but let me tell you about a voice I've learned to appreciate far more than any radio announcers, Fred Falduti of Realty Executives All Area. Now, why do I care so much about Fred's voice? Because not long ago, Fred's voice spoke the following words to me.
Bob, I have some good news for you. They accepted your offer.
That's right. Fred Falduti just sold my house. With words like those, who needs radio? Folks, I'm telling you, choosing the right realtor is no small task. Fred took a personal interest in my situation, treating me less like a customer and more like a member of the family. And Fred's been doing this since 1994. Realty Executives All Area has sold thousands of homes locally.
Our footprints are throughout San Diego County, and we are proud of our accomplishments of assisting home sellers and buyers like you. Over the years, we've managed hundreds of real estate transactions and have encountered just about every kind of challenging situation possible.
That's it, folks. That's the voice that will sell your home. Whether buying or selling, the man you want is Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area. 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com. We radio hosts love to talk, but let's face it, when have we ever sold your home? Fred Falduti will.
Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Anytime I read a book where I want to find out what happens in the next chapter all the way to the last page of the book is a great book. This is the experience you and your children will have reading The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. I read the whole thing in a short time despite a busy schedule. The interesting plot lines has the flavor of realism because the author is writing from his own childhood experiences and ours as well. You will relate to the authentic family dynamics and the playground trials and triumphs described in the book. The book will also make you laugh as some of the characters have a great sense of humor, delivering good-natured jokes mixed with a dose of sarcasm. Most importantly, the book throughout has a moral dimension to it that takes it to a deeper level, making it a preferred selection to read to your kids. Enjoy The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available in bookstores and libraries.
You to know that Hannah really did try to say hi to you before, but okay. they Hannah, got so much equipment back there that she's still learning the ropes a little bit. She really is doing a great job. We're going to give her another shot. Okay. Try it again, Hannah. Take it away.
Hey, guys.
Hey, there we Hannah. Go. There is a Hannah. See, I wasn't making that up.
You're doing a great job. I want to tell you, because Bob knows I've had my own radio shows, and I'm on the show, and I realize the challenge of trying to herd cats like us, and so you're doing a great job.
And you know what? She's very musically inclined, Jim, so maybe in a few weeks we'll let her do what Nick did. We'll let her just come up with a potpourri of music and see if you can guess them. So.
Oh, I love doing that. Now, I forgot to mention, listeners, the opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Bob Siegel, KCBQ, or the Salem Broadcasting Network.
Jim, I'm going to get in trouble for far more of my words than anything you've ever said. I don't think you have to worry about that. Yeah. There's plenty to put the noose around me by myself.
And specifically on the previous segment, for those that didn't recognize it, that was satire. And I know you have that problem sometimes. People don't understand satire. Anybody that knows me, and I have three grandchildren that are half black, I am not a racist. In fact, I am more black than Elizabeth Warren is American Indian.
Okay? Oh, I can go you one up on that, Jim. Everybody's more black than Elizabeth Warren is Native American.
Yeah. But, of course.
Anybody that knows you, that would be ridiculous. Yeah. But my only point was it's just sad when Somebody says, here's a movie about a black man. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Why
and
do
then
people,
you're,
it was like when
labeled.
People said, I didn't vote for Obama. Oh, well, you must be a racist. No, that's,
that's and you know that's not me. And I just wanted the listeners to understand that that was just some satire. And there are other movies that I didn't mention that, that will get nominated, but none of them will be Crazy Rich Asians.
I think this is the third time in a row you've been on that you've mentioned that. I've got to
I
see
love
this.
The movie.
I have got to see that movie.
You got to. Now, in our final segment here, I'm assuming this is our final segment.
This is our final segment.
I am the resident sports guy. Bob's not as much a sports guy as I am, so I feel like you mentioned at the opening of the show, it is Super Bowl week.
Yes.
And so I just want to give a little bit of thought about the Super Bowl.
Can I ask your opinion first? Because even though I don't follow sports, even I haven't missed in the news this controversy of that call.
It was
that the referee made. I want to get your opinion on that.
It was the most blatant non-call in the history of the game. It was pass interference. It was a helmet-to-helmet hit. And I've seen clips where the ref who called it, another ref came over and he waved him away.
So how does the ref get away with that? Did he have a bet on the game or something?
There are conspiracy theories abounding. But the point is, it was not only the worst call, but it cost the New Orleans Saints a trip to the Super Bowl, and that's what's tragic.
And Saints fans are now suing the NFL over this.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
But it was horrible. I haven't watched NFL for 2 years, but I watched the replays and the highlights, and I saw that thing over and over again, and it was just terrible. So I will probably not watch the game this year. Now I have another reason not to, and it's because the Saints should have been there. And if you remember when I did my prophecies on the last show, I picked the Saints to win the Super Bowl, and of course now they won't have the chance.
But your prophecy might have come through if it wasn't for that bozo.
It might have. We'll never know. They aren't going to win it this year. Now, here's another subject. There's this thing. Did you see the deal with the Gillette commercial about toxic masculinity?
Oh, my God. What a crock of bull. See, and Hannah's agreeing with us, too. Hannah's a woman, and she thinks it was a crock of bull also.
Well, here's my retort to the Gillette company.
Go ahead.
The New England Patriots, who will be playing in the Super Bowl for the third year in a row, and it's like they're there almost every year, play in Gillette Stadium. Now, what are you going to do about that, Mr. and Mrs. Gillette Stadium?
Boy, that's a lot of toxic masculinity in that stadium.
Oh,
if they're playing football, tackling people.
There's nothing that's more toxically masculine than football. And so I think they should just pull their advertisement and pull out of Gillette Stadium because of the identification.
Did you see the Greg Gutfeld show a couple of weeks ago where they did toxic femininity commercial?
It's just terrible.
It was hilarious.
So here's the thing. I will probably tune in and watch the opening ceremonies because Gladys Knight is singing the national anthem.
Oh, that's right. And she's getting a lot of flack for doing that.
Yeah, well, that's because Colin Kaepernick tried to turn it into the national anathema.
Yeah, and now, unfortunately, singing the national anthem is like wearing a Trump MAGA hat.
Exactly, and she's, you know, if you read her quote, she said, no, I'd be proud to do it. I was there.
Well, good for her.
When we had struggles, I marched. I stood when it, you know, in those days.
She knew what a real civil rights thing was.
She knows what the thing is all about, and she says, the flag, the national anthem, represent freedom, equal opportunity, everything that America is good about America. Man, I love Gladys Knight, and I've seen her before perform, and she's awesome. And I will tune in and watch Gladys and then probably turn the show off because the commercials haven't been all that good in the last few years anyway, and that's my favorite part.
So there you go.
So there's my take on the
Super Bowl. So you're going to watch a snippet of the football game, none of the Academy Awards, if I'm hearing you correctly.
Yeah, I have a lot of free time on my hands.
Okay. Well, maybe I don't even know what – I know it's just a few weeks, but maybe we could have you on our show because the Academy Awards will be going on right while our show's going on. We could have you watch a little of it over the air and comment.
We'll think about that.
We'll get that worked out. Jim, it's always a pleasure, and I love having you on. You're my good friend. We'll see you next month.
Bye, Hannah.
She's waving. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Bye.
Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.